Our reading tonight comes from the Gospel of John, the 19th chapter, verses 17 through 30. It begins, carrying his cross by himself, he went out to a place called Skull Place, in Aramaic, Golgotha. That's where they crucified him, and two others with him, one on each side and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a public notice written and posted on the cross. It read, "Jesus the Nazarene, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read the sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. Therefore, the Jewish chief priests complained to Pilate, "Don't write the King of the Jews, but this man said, I am the King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I've written, I've written." When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and his sandals and divided them into four shares, one for each soldier. His shirt was seamless, woven as one piece from the top to the bottom. They said to each other, "Let's not tear it. Let's cast lots to see who will get it." This was to fulfill the scripture. "They divided my clothes among themselves, and they cast lots for my clothing." That's what the soldiers did. Jesus' mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene, stood near the cross. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that time on, this disciple took her into his home. After this, knowing that everything was already completed in order to fulfill the scripture, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar full of sour wine was nearby. So the soldiers soaked a sponge in it, placed it on a hyssop branch, and held it up to his lips. When he had received the sour wine, Jesus said, "It is completed." Bowing his head, he gave up his life. Here ends the reading of the gospel. Let's take a moment in prayer, shall we? Gracious God, we're here to grieve. We're here to recognize. We're here to understand what the cross is all about. So tonight, allow us to listen to your words. Allow us to understand that we are the ones. We are the people who put you there. So tonight, we ask for forgiveness, and we ask for your grace and love. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Tonight, we affix ourselves to something wooden, something rugged, on top of a place called Calvary. There is death in the air. There are soldiers. There are criminals. There are people just passing by. And what we see, it isn't good. It feels like evil has won the day. Let's think about what has happened over the last few hours. The violence, the beatings, the blood, the ugliness. And yet, here is God, in human form, hanging on a cross. Spikes driven through his hands and feet, just outside the walls of Jerusalem. Our God, the one sent to show us how to love in the world, and yet there he hangs, and we have killed him. In that circumstance, it could have been much different. All Jesus would have had to do was simply ask God to help, but he didn't. Rather, what he did was carry his cross, that old, beaten, heavy, horrible thing on which he would be nailed. and the only thing that comes to my mind is this: what is written in John 3:16. God so loved the world. Tonight is Good Friday. Not only is it the time of year where we hear about Jesus' death, it is also a time where we hear and witness what the human capacity is for evil. We get to see the deadly consequences of our cruelty, our actions, our silence, and even our collusion. This is why Jesus died, because of all our sin, the collective and the representative. Jesus was tried. He was nailed to the cross and killed because of us. Let's take a moment and think about that. In this moment, I'm not trying to bring you down, but the truth is this: Easter is just 3 days away. And one cannot appreciate Easter until we understand what has happened on the cross. We have to see the evil that is on display. And when we understand and witness what took place, then and only then can we fully appreciate what is happening. We get to see Jesus' victory over death. Then and only then can we even begin to appreciate what Easter really means. A day filled with grace, a day filled with love, that Easter day with the triumph that is life-giving, but still crucifixion. It was cruel. It was inhumane. It was the most horrifying way to die. For the Romans, it was used for a purpose, one that would hopefully deter crime. They wanted people to see what would happen if they broke the law, and they didn't want it to be over quick. They wanted the death to be as long and agonizing as possible. Some hung for days. They would break arms and legs. They would do anything to make sure people would stay in lawful order. And today we see the same thing happening with Jesus. But right below him, at the foot of the cross, sat his mother Mary, Clopas' wife Mary, the disciple who Jesus loved, some Roman soldiers and others, who mocked him, laughed at him, and insulted him. He was so close that he could look into their eyes as he struggled for breath and as he bled from his wounds from the flogging. As he was dying, you know, I know we could discuss how he died, but I really don't know. But the torture finally took its toll. And we know how it ended that day. There he hung, body covered in blood, naked. I want us to think about that for a moment. Then think about this. Just the amount of love that was involved. Just think about what God did for us on that horrible day. I am guessing not one of us would stand in for him. Even with all the cruelty and evil in the world today, I can never imagine standing in for him. Could you? Maybe this is why we are also here today, sitting at the base of the cross. Maybe we are here to face the facts. As humans, we are so broken that we murdered God. What if we took Jesus in this moment when he is suffering and when he died, and we too took that moment and held it up to our souls and make it like a mirror? Would it remind us of what we have all done to make our lives jealous, of being petty, letting our ego get in the way, allowing our spiritual blindness to control our lives every year? We come to Good Friday, we read the story associated with crucifixion, and we do it for a purpose. We do it to get the story straight and to remember what Jesus did for us. But here is the hard question. Have you ever found yourself in this story? Let me explain. Judas, right? Would any of us done what Judas did? Would any of us betray Jesus? What if Jesus was the one we have dreamed about to overthrow the Romans? What if all he needed to get the revolution started was a push from us? Have you ever been like that? Push someone so far because you were impatient, or maybe you were trying to get them to do what you wanted. Maybe we should ask ourselves this. When it comes to Judas, does any of his actions pertain to me? Then there was Peter. And what did Peter do? I'm guessing that we wouldn't have done what he did. How many promises were made? How many promises were broken? Jesus, I will follow you to the grave. Am I right? No, Jesus said, you will deny me three times, all because of a servant girl, one who might have recognized him, a girl who had no authority, no power, all because of a simple question asking Peter if he was a disciple. The truth is this. We don't know if we would have acted like Peter under these circumstances. We don't know if our fight or flight instinct would have kicked in. But here is something we tend to forget about, which is this, that in this moment, in the courtyard, Peter did show up, even when it was all beginning to go down. What about Caiaphas, the high priest, who prophesied this in John 11? You don't see that it's better for you that one man die for the people rather than the whole nation be destroyed. I wonder how many of us had to make a decision over a difficult situation, but in the end had to choose which of the two evils hurt less. And again, in the end, it's still evil, even though we view it as lesser. How about Pilate? Would we have done what he did? I think he was looking for the easy way out of this situation. He had to go back and forth, asking Jesus questions, asking the accusers questions, yet still no easy answer, still no easy way out. It's like this, we stand there listening longer than we should have because we knew what the right thing was, but we continue listening because it wasn't the easiest, nor was it the most popular. How many times have we stood there looking in, yet have never taken a stand? How many times have we let the people around us persuade us into doing something we didn't want to do, just to fit in? How about the chief priest? We certainly would have never yelled, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" and then saying, "We have no king but Caesar." I'm sure none of us have ever been a part of an angry mob, have you? One that calls for the leader's elimination. How about if someone is making your life difficult? Have you ever hoped they would just go away? Have you ever helped the process along? How about the soldiers? We would never be like them. The ones who flogged him, the ones who dressed him in a purple robe mocking him, the one who took thorns, made a crown, and placed it on his head. I'm sure that none of us would have taken the hammer and nails and pounded them through his flesh and bone on that cross. I'm sure none of us would have taken his clothing and gambled for it. Or just to make sure that he is truly dead, pierced him in his side. I know what makes a good soldier. They do what they are told, and in the end, they get commended, they get decorated. I know and you know that the innocent are sometimes the ones that die. It is what the world calls collateral damage. And it happens way too often. Here's what Jesus says in Matthew 25:40. I assure you that when you have done it for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, You have done it for me. And yet, there's Mary, Jesus' mother, watching it all take place. From the time in the courtyard, as he was mocked, spat upon, flogged, as he walked through the streets carrying his instrument of execution, as he bled, as he cried out in pain, even as he hung from the cross, Mary, she stood there at the foot of the cross. She watched as her son's life drained away. And what about the others? The disciple Jesus loved, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and even Jesus' aunt and Mary Magdalene, all of them from the very beginning, risking their own lives, standing at the cross with Mary. Tonight, maybe we should reach out to God, asking if we can enter Good Friday, because we all carry some level of guilt. Guilt of denying, guilt of betraying, guilt of judging, cursing, mocking, flogging, rejecting, condemning, and the guilt of killing Jesus. With our words, with our actions, with our thoughts, with our lack of love. Friends, this is why he came. This is why he died. This is why we stand at the foot of the cross tonight, as we watch him die for our sins, my sins for you and for me. And because of that, we get to experience new life. We get to experience the grace and love, all because of the cross. All because he was willing to go there for us. All because he loved us too much. That he was willing to die for our sins. Tonight, I am standing there. Are you? Amen.